Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Howdy, friends, and thanks for joining us here again on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, es mi amigo joining me today, Mr. Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? I hope everybody had a really good weekend. I'm fired up. I'm really fired up this week. I've got a whole bunch of new books I'm getting into. I've got several new interviews we've been scheduling, and the next upcoming month is going to be very cool. I've also been tinkering with the video.
Yeah, people have been messing with that.
I haven't quite got it all figured out the way I want to. But I've been tinkering with it, and I've also have somebody creating some new logos for the show that we're going to be incorporating into those videos. Anyways, very interesting. Cam, what's new with you?
Oh, you know, just staying at it, doing a little research, doing a lot of reading, like we talked about, getting a bunch of books in. First and foremost, folks, our hearts, our prayers, our thoughts, our good vibes, everything goes out to Paris and all of the other people around the world.
Absolutely.
I know there's a lot of other things that's went down the last couple of months. We don't want to dwell on that. We just want to try to, you know, I'm sure everybody's had enough of it. It's one of those things. Enough's enough. Let's just move.
It's scary, man.
It's a bad deal.
Yeah, I got cousins who live in Paris.
You have family,
and
yes.
They've texted in and said that they were fine.
That's so good.
Yeah. Right? What a tragedy.
It is terrible. So our hearts and our good vibes and our prayers and everything goes out to y'all. I got something that's interesting, Kyle. You and I have had this discussion way, way back before the podcast and all this. For years, we've talked about bees. We always talk about bees, the importance of bees, and we've touched base on it numerous times on this podcast. Well, just so you know, this comes from BBC News, y'all. Prehistoric farmers were believed to be the first beekeepers.
Hmm.
Now get a load of this, Philly. Humans have been exploiting honeybees, it says, for almost 9,000 years, and this is coming due to archaeological evidence. There are traces of beeswax found on ancient pottery from Europe to the Near East and North Africa, and it suggests that the first farmers kept bees. Now, there's been research published in Nature, and it shows the humans' links with honeybee date back to the dawn of agriculture. Now, Professor Richard Evershed of Bristol University, one of the lead scientists of the study, said, and this is his quote, "We've got the earliest evidence for man's association with the honeybee. Man is collecting the beeswax and the honey and perhaps even domesticating them." It's believed that prehistoric people used the wild bees and gathered, like I said, the honey, and they used the wax for medicines and maybe even food. That's what it was believed for. Now, here's something I did not know. Are you aware that there are cave paintings, Kyle? For centuries, they've been finding that actually depict honeycombs, swarms of bees, and what they believe is honey collecting.
No, I'm not aware of that.
I did not know that. But even with that there, there's never been any direct evidence of when or where that these ancient people began harvesting honey and the wax from the bees.
Yeah.
Now, there's a group of scientists, some international scientists, and they went over 6,000 pieces of pottery and to try to map out like this honeybee timeline. And basically what they had figured was that it had merged around the last ice age about 10,000 years ago. And like I said in the entrance, 9,000 years ago is what they have found is our earliest link. And it comes out of Turkey. Now, they've different times for different areas, okay, as it bounces around. There's another lead researcher on the study, Professor Alan Outram of the University of Exeter. And he says up until now that there had been a poor understanding of the distribution of the species. So we didn't really know because imagine the fossil record of bees is what it's kind of getting to in the subject. How are you going to find them, right?
Yeah, right.
It's a bug. This is what he explained, that the plentiful supply of sugary foods is a very recent phenomenon, what we deal with, okay?
That's true.
And his quote goes on to say, but in the past, sweet foods were very hard to find. And it's clear from our study that the earliest farmers in Europe had a keen interest in exploiting the valuable products of the honeybee.
I can imagine. I mean, not only can you flavor your tea or coffee, you can make honey-flavored mead. The bees actually help your crops grow better.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember this thing. My grandfather raised bees, honeybees. Yes. And he had a garden every year. And I remember how his garden was always good. But then he moved those honeybees in. And after that, man, everything grew tremendously much better after that point.
It was way better.
They were fertilizing his garden and everything.
I'm fascinated just by how integral the bee. I mean, you know, we always hear the stories. If the bees died, we would all die. And there's even documentaries on it. We've talked about how important it. But it's funny because it's apparently been a part of our life, not just recent, but for 9,000 years, folks.
It's a damn Wi-Fi.
Right?
It's destroying them.
It's giving me a headache now.
Right? Very interesting. Speaking of science, did you see this mysterious space junk that was hurtled towards the Earth crash-landed into the Indian Ocean on Friday?
Yay!
Right? Now, this comes to us from ABC News. A mysterious piece of space junk was detected hurtling towards Earth about a month ago, and it splashed down in the Indian Ocean this Friday morning. Now, the space debris. Get ready, Cam, with your pen.
Hold on. Wait. I got the one with the cap on it. Okay, it's off.
Named WT1190F.
Whoa, they just had to put a 1190 in between the T and the F. All right.
Entered the Earth's atmosphere and landed off the coast of Sri Lanka. Now, this is according to NASA. Now, scientists first spotted the object on October 3rd and have been tracking its movement ever since so that they were able to predict when and where it would hit. Now, the guys over there, the NASA-holes, as I like to call them, said that it was never a threat to anyone on Earth because of its small size.
That sounds like something you have.
It says the object landed in the Indian Ocean about 50 miles off the coast of Sri Lanka at roughly 1:15 a.m. In terms of size, they believe it was roughly 3 to 6 feet long. Now, Dlef Koschi, the head of the European Space Agency's Near Earth Object Office, told ABC News that they have determined that it was definitely something artificial as opposed to being something organic of matter. They said it was probably the upper stage of a rocket that went to the moon a long time ago, but we still really don't know.
Okay.
They said that the object was last spotted visually in an image captured by a telescope in 2009. But beyond that, there's no way of placing the object into a specific lunar or interplanetary mission that it was involved in. So they said it was moving at about 10 times the speed of a bullet. So it's kind of scary because they're saying that the upper end of a lunar launch module has been floating around ever since 1969 and it just now fell back to Earth.
But how do they really know?
Well, they don't know. They just know.
I know they track a lot of stuff. Maybe they do.
That's scary because, man, that stuff could fall down. Here's the thing. They said that they were to track it and, you know, triangulate where it was going to land. Okay, I get that. So say they did the same calculation and it turned out it was landing on your house. What would they do? Would they come up to you like a week later? Well, they'd have to, wouldn't they?
Would they?
You'd have to say, hey, we're so sorry, and we'll give you, you know.
Super sorry, but you're going to have to move.
Your home.
And you're going to have to move in 12 hours.
Yeah, you don't want to be here Tuesday come 5 p.m. because there's something going to hit your house. I mean, luckily it landed in the ocean, but what would they do?
What if that's what brought down one of the airliners? What if one of the airliners is going over the ocean and MH370 got, what if that's crazy, and it got hit by falling space debris, and they just like, uh-oh.
Well, it could happen.
We can't say anything.
It's going to happen. Things are going to hit the Earth.
Could you imagine that?
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's my luck, see? My luck is I'm flying over the ocean, space debris chops the wing off of a jet I'm in, I crash land into the ocean, surviving, mind you, surviving. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And then I'm bobbing out there like food, like an apple, a big, fat, flesh colored apple just floating out there waiting for something to take me down. No, dude, I'm terrified. No,
terrifying.
For those of you, I got something interesting. For those of you that love your online presence, social media, this comes from fizz.org. There is a group, an institute out there that Kyle actually wants to apply for. It's called the Happiness Research Institute.
Sounds awesome.
And it is, did a little study. It comes and it goes this way. For a happier life, give up Facebook, is what the study says.
Somebody
would
tell my wife that.
The study involved a sample of 1,095 people in Denmark who were divided into two groups, half of whom continued using Facebook while the other half stopped. Now, Meek Wiking, the Happiness Research Institute's chief executive, told this to Fizz.org that we focused on Facebook because it is the social media that most people use across age groups. Yeah, I can understand that.
I understand that.
You see kids all the way up to grandparents, you know.
The younger ones are more in the flashers of like Snapchats and stuff like that.
Yeah. Insta, little Instagram action, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They said after a week, those people who hadn't been on Facebook said that they were more satisfied with their lives, and 88% of them describing themselves as happy compared with 81% from the second group.
I can believe that because no matter who you are, you're constantly going to think that your life is not as good as somebody else's. And if you're constantly looking at how good everybody's life's going on Facebook, it'll start to bum you out. Because first of all, they're not true. People constantly post crap. That's not really true. I mean, nobody posts any posts that say, oh, well, it looks like I bounced another check this week. Looks like my cable's getting turned off. No one's truthful.
Yeah. Looks like I'm 2 weeks late on my car payment. They keep sending all these. I'm three months out. They're coming
nobody
to get it.
Nobody posts that.
Yeah, exactly.
They always post like what I'm eating for dinner that night. I'm always like, what do I care that you're eating a steak? Good for you.
Yeah, I love it. My kid won this. My kid's getting an F in English class. I don't know what to do with him. Yeah, they don't ever post that. You're right. The study goes on to say that 84% of them said that they appreciated their lives compared with 75% of the group, and only 12% described themselves as dissatisfied compared with 20% among those who continued using Facebook. Now, it goes on, one of the quotes says, instead of focusing on what we actually need, we have an unfortunate tendency to focus on what other people have, which goes exactly what you were talking about. So basically, what the group or what this study says is that Facebook users are 39% more likely to feel less happy than non-users. And I also attribute it to this. Get away from in front of the screen. Go outside. Do something. Build something with your hands. Paint.
You should
get a coloring book and colors. Do something.
You should designate a day. Everybody should do this. You should designate one day. Maybe it's Sunday. Where you just turn off all the electronics. Just the whole day. Don't. Yeah. Read a book. An actual paper book. Not a Kindle. A book. Do something outside.
Do something. You're
whittle.
Right. Carve something out of soap. Pick a hobby. Think of the craziest thing you want to. Learn how to braid something. Get on YouTube. There's ways to learn. Teach yourself how to do something.
Well, I mean, I know it's awfully handy, but we always are goofing on like e-cigarettes and things like that. We really don't know because it hasn't been around long enough. This Wi-Fi stuff that's all around us could be very harmful to us, not just bees.
It's killing me.
I mean,
think
about it. How many wireless routers we have just in this studio right
here. The stuff in this studio, there's no way it's not giving me and you cancer. On top of the stuff that we drink and all that stuff while we're here. But yeah, we're killing ourselves sitting in here. There's way too much electrical stuff going on around here that you and I don't understand.
Turn it off.
I don't understand much anyway, so this is even more so.
Yeah. Well, pretty interesting stuff. Let's move on. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, Cam, what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about the Dugway Proving Ground, folks.
Sounds interesting. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back, folks. Thanks for sticking around. We're going to have a good time. I have mentioned this to Kyle a little while ago. We were talking, and I didn't know anything about this. It's one of those things, like we always, I love coming across this strange stuff. I'd heard about it, but never really looked into it, and it had some interesting stories around it. But like most things, you dig into, you find some really interesting stuff. So, Kyle, have you ever heard of the Dugway Proving Ground?
I'm vaguely familiar with it. I've heard of it, but I don't really know much other than it's a top secret military base where they house extraterrestrials.
There you go.
And they do scientific tests on humans, and then they do cattle mutilations, things like that. I mean, all I know
that's
is
what they do
it's
there.
Like a top secret yeah. base. That's really all I know. And that yeah. I heard that, you know, for a long time, the government denied that Area 51 even existed. They'd be like, if you brought it up, they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But at some point, there was enough photographs and things where they're like, okay, you got it. It's mm-hmm. a secret base. I heard about once that was established and they, you know, admitted to having this place, that they just kind of moved all their top secret extraterrestrial crap from Area 51 to Dugway Proving Ground. I don't know if any of that's true, though. That's all I've heard about the place.
Well, there is some, that's, you're close, because there is some really strange stuff like you're talking about. Most of the time, like when I ask you, that, first of all, when I first heard or read Dugway Proving Ground, unless you're really into the UFO topic or conspiracy theory, the first thing that probably comes to mind, or at least mine did, is like a track, like a racetrack. I was thinking of some kind of proving ground for tires and car engines.
Yeah, I visualize like, what is the thing where it looks like a railroad track with like a jet engine on it.
There you go,
like,
yeah.
You know, they're testing
because of
propulsion.
The proving ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds cool. And they do test vehicles there, you know, and that's the first thing I thought. They're going to test something to its breaking point, the proving ground. Well, like I said, there's a little bit more that surrounds that when you got to digging around in there. And I just want to share it with you because it's interesting. It makes for a good stories. Now, according to the U.S. Army, the Dugway Proving Ground was established in 1942. So it's been around a while. And it was actually there that the military wanted to expand research. And they wanted to do research into chemical and biological weapons is what it was first laid out. Now, the original site, get a load of this. The original site is 126,720 acres, and it was activated in March 1st of 42 to test weapons, defense test, it said. And then 3 months later, they went on, and that's, I guess, when after that, when they first started doing this, when they really kind of went online with testing for all the
how many acres
equipment.
Did you say?
The original site? Yeah. 126,720.
Yeah, it's a small ranch. It's a small ranch here.
Yeah.
That's right? It? That's just like the back 40, right?
Right. Now, this is what a quote that actually came from that time period said. Important projects during this early period included testing incendiary bombs, chemical weapons, and modified agents as spray disseminated from aircraft.
Chemtrails.
Chemtrails.
Really?
Yeah. But it's basic. And that's what we're going to get into. We touch base a little bit of that. Now, like I said, it's a U.S. Army facility, and it's located 85 miles southwest of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Hmm.
What makes it interesting is it's surrounded by on three sides by mountain ranges. And now it roughly covers 1,252 square miles of the Great Salt Lake Desert. Now, just to bring that into kind of an idea for you to hang your hat on, folks, the state of Rhode Island is 1,212 square miles, if
yeah.
that gives you any idea. So the actual area, the footprint of this thing is that big. Now, there's a resident there, residency, in actual Dugway, Utah. 795 people. Now, that's the 2010 state census, but there's 795 people live there. And for all of you high school sports buffs, the mascot are the Mustangs, the Dugway Mustangs that you've got going out there. Now, it's located, the actual proving ground itself is 13 miles south of the Utah Test and Training Range. Now, that's another part. Now, that is a 2,624 square mile area. And the UTTR is currently what they say the largest overland block of supersonic authorized restricted airspace in the contiguous United States.
Really?
So that's a big, big bunch of land.
Yeah.
Big area right there. Now, the range, like I said, that we're talking about, the whole area there, it has a ground space of 2,675 square miles. It's got 19,000 square miles of airspace that it's allowed. Now get a load of that. That's a lot of area we're talking about these two places cover.
So it probably extends the actual border of the
base. Oh, wait, yeah. A whole lot. And they actually break them into north and south ranges. They say combined, it forms the largest military space in the United States. Now that brings things up to mind. When I give all this, these data and this numbers, because I want you to start thinking about, if you're going to have something you don't want people to see, don't you want the borders to be massively far away from where you're going to be hiding anything?
Yeah, I would think so.
And then not just that, now you've got 19,000 square miles of airspace. So now it's even harder. It's bigger over there. You can't fly into it. So not only on the ground you can't see because of the terrain, but also you can't fly into it. It's not like it's the same. So you just went up. If it was the same border and you went straight up, you could look over a little further. Oh, they've covered all their bases. And
unless you own a satellite.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you own a satellite. Now, like I said, the official or the primary purpose, let's say, was actually promoted to everyone that it was to test biological and chemical weapon defense. And they said even including radioactive materials. Now, it's like we talked, there's a huge side. Huge size of it. It's very remote. And what we just discussed, could it be that it's more like area, let's say, 52? Because there has been alleged that there are a lot of UFO secrets like you covered that took place there. Now, there's something interesting that actually happened. In November of 2009, what was said to have been a meteor, which people thought was a UFO that was lighting up the night sky, exploded in the atmosphere, and scientists tracked the trajectory, determined that pieces fell in the Dugway Proving Ground. Well, it got some publicity, not a whole lot, you know, things like that. But part of the publicity is that the area is just not closed to civilians, but even Army personnel are denied access to large areas because they are deemed too dangerous. Now, that's kind of funny to me that they did that. Now, here's something even more intriguing is in 2004, the Genesis spacecraft malfunctioned, and it actually was directed and crashed into the area of Dugway. So it's not the first time to have things crash there.
But it's also pretty handy. I mean, if you have you have an area marked off because you know that we are doing space exploration and stuff, to have an area marked, and if there's somebody coming in hot or something like that, you can say, hey,
we got an empty spot.
We got a big empty spot, man. Send it this way.
And it makes sense when you start thinking about the word proving ground or things. If you start thinking about military aircraft, if you're going to have a crash, you want to have a crash out away from anything, out in the middle of a desert, out in the middle of an area that's saddled between two mountains and got one at the back. So you have a horseshoe area. It's pretty much safe. They own the mountains. They own all the land around it. Nobody's going to get hurt. They know who's out there. They know who's not out there. That is the common idea or belief that you would normally think about. But also, too, in the same turn, it holds the same interest for if you're hiding something, like we talked about, this strange debris that was tracked that was thought to be maybe UFO. There's all these different things. Now, we've brought up Dr. Stephen Greer before. Dr. Greer actually believes that he found a giant cover-up by the U.S. government that he says dated back to the 40s, like most people. And he believes, you know, that a UFO did crash in Roswell and that the federal officers pretty much gathered up the remains of all of it, like we've talked about, and took it to different places. We've discussed that. But according to Greer, what he believes a black box, this program that they had been working on, was in conjunction with Lockheed Martin to reverse engineer this alien technology. Okay?
Right. I'm with you.
So we're going still along the whole military thing. Now, Greer believes that the U.S. actually has a space program, a secret space program, and that they actually have the technology to travel deep into outer space now. That's what he thinks, deep into outer space. And he believes that the aircraft that they have reverse engineered and built and what we have are so very powerful that it makes the space shuttle program pretty much a joke than what we have available to civilians. You say all that for this. Greer always has, this is what he talks about, he has this thing going, that the former CEO, Dr. Ben Rich, the CEO of Lockheed Martin, okay? Admitted on his deathbed. Now, this is what I found. Deathbed confessionals. Here we go.
That I'm going to make up one during mine.
You better.
I'm just going to totally make something crazy up right before wild. I go out. That way my kids always wonder, man.
Yeah. Well, what he says, apparently Dr. Rich had actually said that for years he'd been working with secret military operations, and they've been working to develop anti-gravity technology and flying saucers powerful enough, this is what Rich says, to take E.T. home. All right?
Yeah, okay.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Says this, we already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects, and it would take an act of God to get them out to benefit humanity. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do. And he also admitted that earlier in his career, he agreed that the public should not know about these programs. And then he concludes that multinational corporate board of directors who were over this secret program posed more of the potential threat to the U.S. than the extraterrestrials or the technology they were developing. And I can believe that. If they did have something in the hands of the wrong people, I believe that that could be something. But the reason I say that is because Lockheed Martin was tied up different Air Force bases. So if it's testing grounds that you want and places to stay hidden, why not be able to use Dugway?
Yeah.
It would make more sense. Now, remember the show the History Channel did called The UFO Hunters?
Yes, with Bill Burns and trying to remember the other people on there. Well, is that the one I'm right, though? Wasn't he on that one?
I believe so. Well, they did. I remember this. Now, they did, and I never saw all this because I never got a chance to watch it. I don't ever watch any of those UFO shows like that. I don't know why I don't. I don't mess with it.
I like the Hangar One or whatever it is.
There you go. Apparently, the UFO Hunter guys really went out and was looking to try to find out what had happened at Dugway. And they had interviewed several people from the area. Mm-hmm. All right. And they found a fella named Alien Dave.
Oh, wow.
While he was out. And now, and he's got a website and this whole thing. Now, Alien Dave claims, this is what he saw, that he saw a jet vanish into thin air. And then he also says that he's watched Humvees in a convoy travel along a road and then disappear into a subterranean fortress built into the side of the mountain.
Like I totally believe that.
Like the Batcave. Goes in there.
We know that there's underground bases.
Exactly.
I mean, so that doesn't seem crazy.
Doesn't seem crazy to me
at
all.
The jet he was describing was probably the Aurora.
Maybe.
You know, that special plane in the mid-80s they had talked about, never been confirmed if they actually built it or not.
He also says that he's personally witnessed a laser beam launch high into outer space and that it was so powerfully charged with like electromagnetic discharge that you could smell ozone. And it left his hair standing on end, like up on his arms and all that.
I believe that
ozone smell.
Have you ever seen the supposed NASA video footage? I believe it was from the space shuttle or something, where it looks like an object is moving, and then it moves out of the way, and just then it looks like a laser from Earth shoots up.
Yes.
I mean, that was Dugway.
Maybe it was Dugway, right? But just what he described, you know, and all this stuff, that doesn't sound out of really too crazy for what we know
secret
now.
Secret underground base? No. I mean, NORAD. And other bases, there's other ones. You know, we've got two books over here that talk nothing but
underground bases. Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy, but it's those little threads of evidence. It doesn't sound crazy, but is there more to it? So if he's seen all this, if he's a real stand up guy, Alien Dave, if he's really seen all this, these Humvees disappearing, all this stuff, then we know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't there be some more undercover? Would you have to do that just because you could, or would you do that because you needed to keep secrets? And it almost feels like it's because you needed to keep secrets. They also found a police officer, a former police officer there, on the Goshute Indian Reservation, okay?
Okay.
And that he had seen some things, and he claims that he had watched a flying saucer travel along a road out in the west part of the desert out there, a real desolate area. He says that after he had flashed a light beam onto the UFO reacted by speeding up and going up and over the mountain range there till it was out of sight. And he said it took just mere seconds to happen.
So let's just think about it. I mean, it makes sense to me. If you're going to have an area that's fenced off, you know, from well away from any towns or anybody that could be looking on, any onlookers, what better place than to have something like that if you were going to test some new space age vehicle, not a helicopter, not a jet, but something that uses electromagnetism or something to propel, that's when you would test it. It would be at night, out in the middle of the desert.
It would be the smart thing to do.
I mean, right? I mean, it has nothing to do with extraterrestrial. It's just
it doesn't really have to be at night if they keep it low enough. I guess if you keep it low to the ground and fly, nobody's really going to see it in the middle of out there and all of that.
Right, exactly. So say that they're testing this thing over the road. The guy's flying by the road because, I don't know, they're doing some kind of experiment. He's playing. He doesn't know that there's a police officer watching.
Mm-hmm.
And when he starts shining his flashlight, he's like, oh, crap. somebody sees me and they get out of there. He says it takes off and flies off.
Well, I picture like the spotlight on my car.
Yeah.
You know, you crank it up. Here's the part of the story, though, that's interesting, too. As he said, it took mere seconds to build out of sight. He said he, in his belief, it was moving faster than any plane at the time could travel. Then he adds this, that right after that, there were two fighter jets followed it right where the path was going. Does that seem too crazy to be if it was like you were talking about, if they were running a test on something?
No, it doesn't seem crazy to me.
And they're just trailing it. You know, they're following like, hey, how fast are you going? All that stuff. This is the speed I got. You know, I don't know.
Fighter jets escort Air Force One. They escort other planes. I'm sure if they're running a test, maybe they're flying. But
I don't know. It's a secret test. Maybe it is a UFO. Maybe it's a secret test of a UFO. I don't know. That's just it. There's just a lot of curious things that happen there.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. Nothing to do with extraterrestrials. I believe that they are unidentified flying objects because they're being test-built, top-secret military aircraft is being tested there. I mean, we know, look, and this is another reason that you can keep going down this path. There's trillions of unaccounted-for dollars that they claim is being used in these black projects. Mm-hmm. So much so that no one really knows, not one person knows where all the money's going. The president doesn't know. This group knows where this is going, but they don't know where that's going. I mean, so that's probably what it is, right? Why does it always have to be extraterrestrial? Why does everything have to be aliens? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just human beings that have been able to come up with super awesome technology.
Exactly.
I mean, if you were to show this cell phone to somebody from like 1875, I mean, to them it would seem that it has to be given to you by an extraterrestrial, an alien. Human beings couldn't have built this.
Couldn't make it. They can't even fathom that it's a possibility.
Right? And look how short that people have even had the ability to fly. I mean, if you look back, people have only been able to fly, like, what, 150 years?
What'd they say, in 70 years we went from just learning how to fly to dropping bombs out on cities? Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you were to go, just flash forward 150 years and to see, like, a modern F-18 Super Hornet flying around, I mean, those people that are on the Oregon Trail,
you would
do a buzz, I mean, they'd think it was extraterrestrial.
Exactly.
You're like,
no,
your great-grandkids are going to be a pilot of one of those.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no way.
Well, there's more sightings of stuff that happened. I'm gonna talk to you about this one. This is actually was reported by the Channel 4 News there in Utah. I said there was a witness saw an unidentified flying object hovering in formation, they said, for several minutes, and it seemed to be dropping flares.
Hmm.
Says one of the witnesses professed that she did not believe in extraterrestrials and that she had to admit the strange nature of these objects that didn't match any aircraft that she knew of made her question that. Now, she said they were no blinking lights, no sound. They glowed red the whole time. The witness's name was Lynette, and she said that they began dropping white streams of light, some type of burning object.
Chaff.
And however, it says her husband, who once worked for a company that manufactured flares, he said that they were definitely not flares. Now, there were other witnesses in the American Fork area there, and some of them included members of the Air Force, and they noticed that the objects were, you know, in the sky, and they whipped out their cell phones, and of course we know how crappy that is, started trying to film with them. There was also a man there named Mike Galbraith, and he said that they had been military flares. Now, witnesses would have been able, this is what he claims, that would have been able to hear them and said that they would have shot out of the sides of the plane, if it had been a plane, you know, popped out of the sides of it. But says that these objects that flew in this formation at an altitude that he didn't believe that normal aircraft would maintain. And he also said that they definitely did not match any aircraft he was aware of.
Right.
That's a pretty...
But that doesn't mean it's a UFO.
Well, no, but it's a pretty strong indicator that this guy, he's in the Air Force. Yeah, he didn't know what it was. So it could be something being tested. Exactly.
He's not privy to it. That doesn't mean it's an alien. I mean, and you talked about that, well, it didn't have blinking lights on it. But, you know, if you're testing something, do you necessarily have to conform to, like, Federal Aviation Administration rules that you have to have blinking lights and stuff?
No, you're making up your own rules because you're the boss.
Well, and you're flying it in the desert. Like, say, look, this thing isn't going to leave our confines, so there's no reason to make it commercially seen or available to other
people.
But they
don't have to even
tell
them. No. They're the military.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they do.
Well, there was another sighting that took place there, and it actually took place right before 10 p.m. one evening. And it said, and here's the thing, it said it looked like Dugway was conducting a laser test of some kind. This is what the witness reported. And they said all of a sudden a huge cone of light would flash over the valley. No sound. This happened twice before we saw the object. And then again after the object was gone. We looked out over Dugway and there was a huge red ball of light. The witness says, I went running for the camera when my husband said it split into two. He tried zooming in on the object while I watched it split again. Then it just disappeared.
Now that's interesting.
Right? What the heck could that be? Unless it's just your eyes playing tricks on you. Maybe it's where all the lights in one perfect line, and then as it turned a little bit, it looked like it turned into two, and then you turned that, and the tail was, you know, maybe it's big. I don't, I'm just speculating, folks. You don't got to send me hateful emails. I don't know.
Spider beings. Right. Down there getting black goo.
Right. Well, it's one of the, there's just so many different crazy questions along those things. So then, you know, you can look and you're like, what the heck's going on? The biological weapons, to me, is the thing that bothers me the most about this place. On the grounds where Dugway is now, there once stood a German village. All right?
Like an internment camp or something?
A set of houses they actually built in 1943 to resemble typical German homes. The reason it was built so that the United States Army could perfect their firebombing techniques.
What difference does it make how the architecture of the house looks?
I guess they wanted to, you're talking in the 40s, bro. You're just wanting, they're wanting to make sure that they get it right, where they want to know how it burns, how it lands, this whole thing. They also ran tests, not like I've talked, chemical, biological, nuclear agents that was run there on the proving grounds. That brings me to this, the Skull Valley incident that took place there.
I'm not aware of this. Skull Valley.
Skull Valley. So you got to think about
Skull Valley, but never Skull. Yeah.
March 13th, 1968. March, probably a beautiful time. Beautiful day in Utah, I'm sure. There's workers there at Dugway Proving Grounds, and they were performing a series of three tests that involved, you ready? VX. Yeah, folks. When I say VX, it's the same gas, the same poison it's referred to in the movie The Rock. Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery. It's a deadly
nerve agent. That's a real
thing? Yes. It's a nerve agent, and it's got an oily consistency. Here's the reality of this stuff. A drop on the skin the size of a pinhead can kill a full-grown adult in 15 minutes.
This is all real?
This is real. Sure? I'm 100% legit with VX. Now, I tell you that, okay? A drop on the skin the size of a pinhead can kill a full-grown adult. This is an oil drop the size of a pinhead. Remember that. It's going to be part of the test after I tell you this story. It's going to tie back into this story, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Anyways, the very first test involved the firing of a single VX artillery shell. So they had rigged it up with VX on it. The second involved they burned 160 gallons of the nerve agent, the oil, in an open pit. So they're testing it to see how it's going to react. Then there was a third test, right? Lucky old number three. What do they always say? Third time's a charm?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Well, I guess it really is, unless you're a sheep. Because... This is what led to the Skull Valley sheep killing incident. This test involved an F-4E Phantom jet flying low, dumping VX on an empty test area 27 miles away from Skull Valley. All right?
Okay.
No big deal. The jet...
They dumped it just on an open valley or they dumped it on the sheep?
No. They're dumped on their land. It's all on their land is where they're at. So they say the jet performs its mission flawlessly. Everything went great. Except with the spraying apparatus that was dumping the VX.
Uh-oh.
It didn't shut off properly. It leaked as the pilot flew back over Skull Valley. Now, I touched on the VX. Here's a little history on that VX. Like we said, it's a chemical weapon. It's classified as a weapon of mass destruction by the United Nations. All right? Now, the production and stockpiling of VX, get a load of this, exceeding 100 grams per year was outlawed by the Chemical Weapons Convention of 1993.
That's manufacture more than 100 grams per year.
You can't stockpile more than 100. So you can't have more than 100 basically on you ever. Now, the VX nerve agent is best known.
You all know that they break those rules, right?
Well, there is a V series of nerve agents. All right,
well,
this is the top. Yeah. This is one of those things I always think back of Nicolas Cage's character in The Rock is Stanley Goodspeed. Mm-hmm. And he always says this, the V series, the VX gas is one of those things we wish we could uninvent. We wish nobody figured this out.
Can you imagine, though, going to school your whole life, you're a brilliant chemist, And then your job is I'm going to create the most dangerous substance known to mankind that'll kill anything.
Sounds awesome, right?
No, I wouldn't want to do it.
And then you got some.
I mean, there wouldn't be. To me, I would not want to do that. I'd be like, look, I don't want to do that.
What about the jackass flying the plane? Like a crop duster. I know he was from. You know what I'm saying? Oh, it was a hard night last night. Hell, I can get that button shut off. I'm going to fly back through Skull Valley. Oh, man. Yeah, you left it on. Yeah.
I mean, I wonder. I mean, a person that could have used VX gas really good have been Richard Kuklinski. Remember, he was using cyanide.
Yeah, right. That's
he
just
said
what he
needs.
He would
throw it on somebody's shirt and act like he was just drunk. Oh, sorry, man, I spilt my drink, and then it would soak into your pores, and you'd be dead like in 10 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
He didn't have his hands full. Didn't of that.
Have, yeah, he don't need any of the VX.
Right.
Here's what
Is
makes
he still
it,
alive.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Is this what runs through your head when we start talking about VX? Is this guy still... I don't think he's still alive. Surely he's not. If
the
they are
Ice Man. Remember the Iceman. Check out that
documentary. No, he's not. He's not. He died in prison.
The Iceman.
Yep, I remember that now. Yep, he died in prison. Here's the strange thing, too, about VX, of why it persists so long in the environment, is because it's very oily. So yet again, it's designed
Viscous.
To stick around. Yes. It clings to vegetation. And they said it can do this for days. Well, just so happens, in this case, that's what it did. It coated a bunch of grass and snow in that little valley area there in Skull Valley. And the sheep that were living in that valley did what? They ate the grass, nibbled around in the snow, and by March 14th, here's where it starts getting a little more twisted. This is what happened. On the official record, this was the claim. The official claim was 4,372 disabled sheep, of which about 2,150 were either killed outright by VX exposure or were so critically injured that they needed to be euthanized on site by veterinarians.
Oh, that's horrible.
There was another 1,877 sheep temporarily injured or showed no signs of injury, but were not marketable due to their potential exposure. So all of the exposed sheep, which survived the initial exposure, were eventually euthanized by the ranchers since even the potential for exposure had rendered the sheep permanently unsellable for either meat or wool.
Discount here. Get your sheep here.
Three for one. VX sheep.
Yes, but it survived. I'm telling you, it's clear.
It's tough. Now, local farmers, they don't agree with that. They said that was more around 6,000 of them actually died. More around 6,000 sheep were what died. That these official base numbers are all a lie. That it was.
I'd be moving. I'd be afraid it would happen again. What's stopping it from getting in your drinking water? I just made a salad from my garden outside.
Oh yeah, it gets better. It gets better.
You're eating VX instead of ranch dressing on your salad.
The army, of course, denies all the responsibility for the deaths of these sheep.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Move along. But there were some tests conducted on the tissue and the blood of the samples from the carcasses, and they showed that there were trace VX in their system. Now, these tests conducted in 1972 at Edgewood Arsenal showed that sheep fed grass contaminated with VX exhibited the same symptoms as the sheep in Skull Valley. So they actually tested it on the sheep and said this is exactly what got them. So they already opened up the sheep, did an autopsy. They know it was VX contaminated them. That's not some stuff that's just loose for everybody to get their hands on.
I hope not.
But sheep weren't the only victims of this little Skull Valley incident. A fellow named Ray Peck. He was a rancher there.
Oh, no. Well, people got it, too?
He and his family lived in the valley during this entire incident. Okay, now, Ray was outside working. He said when he heard the jet streak overhead. Of course, you know he thinks nothing of it.
Probably happens to him
He's
all
living,
the time.
Yeah, he lives near the base. This type of thing happens all the time. It's common. He said, but something was different about it this time. By the end of the day, old Ray developed an earache. Didn't think anything of it. Maybe he's feeling a little under the weather.
People get earaches?
Yeah. The next morning, before discovering all of his dead sheep, he got up, goes outside. There's some fresh snowfall on the ground. He's taking a look at it and how beautiful it all is. And, of course, we've all done it. He's like, he reaches down, gets him a handful of it, shoves it in his mouth. Okay?
Yeah.
Refreshing little treat from Mother Nature, if you will. And then he continued out to the area. Imagine what it must have felt like when he gets out there and there's his sheep, dead or dying. And then guess what happens? Then army helicopters descend from the sky on him and his family.
Black helicopters?
Come swarming in. Officers, doctors, soldiers, pretty much just run over the whole thing because they knew something bad had happened, right?
Yeah.
The doctors obtained blood samples from everybody in Ray's family, took them all. Not long after this, they all began to suffer from very terrible headaches. And Ray himself reported the headaches in addition to bouts he suffered with numbness, paranoia, and burning pain in his legs. Now, it goes on to say that the family also suffered fertility problems after this incident. And in that family, there was unusual high numbers of miscarriages.
Mm-mm.
So it didn't maybe poison them enough to kill them, right. But it did do something.
Man, that's terrible.
They weren't the only human casualties of the incident.
Oh, no. This isn't going to be like The Hills Got Eyes or whatever.
No, not yet.
Like mutants
not yet.
And stuff created.
Well, the band of the Goshute Native Americans there, the leaders of the Skull Valley Band there, reported that older tribe members died not long after the leak. That some of their older elders passed away. But, of course, there was no investigation made into it by the military. And it's kind of, look, this was a claim. I couldn't really find any links to that, but that may not be something that was linked to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
But also, too, there was nothing that nobody said that they investigated these claims, none of this stuff. But all the tribal elders believed, or the members of the tribe believed, that it was due to the VX gas that it had gotten on there. In 1970, there was a report showing that the VX, of course, from Dugway was responsible for the deaths, and it was declassified in 1978. But due to the FOIA and everything, it didn't become really public attention until like the late 90s.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. I didn't even know VX was real. I thought that was a fictional chemical warfare.
No, it's real stuff.
Weapon created for that movie.
Real scary stuff.
Man, what is it? To me, the chemical warfare stuff always seems to bother me worse. Like if you said a group of military, some country's military ran in and they killed 3,000 civilians with assault rifles. Although that's tragic and horrible. To me, it sounds worse when you say 3,000 guys, you know, put VX gas on these people and it killed them.
Well, because it's so much easier. It's so much easier.
It's
so much easier to hit it and forget it.
You just start, your lungs liquefy and start melting.
It was
like the Indiana Jones guy. She's beautiful. You know, that's what I'm picturing is happening.
When the VX hits them?
Yeah.
Well, it said the Army never took responsibility, but the government did offer compensation to the ranchers who lost their sheep of basically $1 million. And everybody had to just pull out of that pool of whatever they lost. That's pretty much what they gave.
Man.
Here's $1 million. All of y'all just divide it up however you want to. Here's an interesting fact, though. They believe that the media reporting on that case at the time was such a huge factor that it actually swayed Nixon's decision in 1969 to ban all open-air testing of chemical weapons.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, if, of course, everybody plays along by the rules.
Yeah.
You know. Now, here's something that was really unique. This happened recently, and actually in January of 2011, the entire facility of Dugway once again was put under lockdown. And when I say put under, I'm talking everybody locked down. Didn't matter what rank, didn't matter anything. Nobody in and nobody out. The reason why is because a vial of VX gas, or VX,
was missing.
Went missing.
Awesome.
The vial contained 1 milliliter of nerve agent, and it was actually missing for 12 hours before they found it. Now, there was a statement that the Army at the time sent out to the media, and this is what they tried to downplay it, because they said that basically that vial is less than a quarter of a teaspoon. That was all. Less than a quarter of a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Now, remind yourself what I asked you to remember at the start.
Pinhead.
The reality of this stuff is a drop on the skin the size of a pinhead can kill a full-grown adult in 15 minutes. A quarter of a teaspoon. How many pinheads is in a quarter of a teaspoon?
Yeah.
Imagine if you could aerosol that. A quarter of a teaspoon aerosoled in anything thrown in an area that we have now.
What is wrong with us?
Yeah.
Human beings, I mean, why would we need, why create something like that? I mean, do you really need to create that? Because, look, one day we might have a turf war with Russia or Iran or somewhere else.
And you're the VX gas people?
Yeah. Why would you ever need to do that?
You don't. There's not ever a need for VX gas. I can't imagine there ever being a need for VX gas. I honestly can't.
But I'm saying somebody came up with it, and then somebody greenlit the project. I mean, why, though?
Yeah.
It's horrible. Because it's so easy for that accidentally to get misplaced.
Yes.
And something very tragic could happen.
I'm picturing a little bitty vial like what you get your blood drawn in.
Yeah.
Is gone. And they're like, huh. You just don't realize that little bitty vial could kill 10,000 people if done properly. Like, could you imagine one little grenade of that gas getting dropped in, say, I don't know, the Cowboy Stadium? Yeah. Which wouldn't affect the way they've been playing, but that's beside the point. But the reason, look, I know it's kind of off topic, folks, for what we normally talk about. But the reason I brought this up with the whole VX gas and the whole killing the sheep is for this one thing. We know for a fact now that they dabble in this in that area, that that's how secretive it is. And that's the reason. That's what me and Kyle are staring at each other right now as I'm telling him this. We know for a fact that that's what they dabble in.
Yeah.
If they're secretive enough and they can cover all that up and deal with all that, then, and it's as big as it is, they don't keep it that big just to mess around with biological weapons. There's more out there to it.
Yeah, for sure.
There's little strings, little lines that, you know, that spread out like a spider's web. And I think that there's something to it when they start talking about this reverse engineering. I think this is one of those places that not a lot of people talk about. Like we've said, it's bigger than any other base. Now, it may not be physically as far as structures bigger, but it's bigger than any other base. So you can't get in there to see it. It's for our protection. It's for their protection. But it's also to they can do whatever they want to do in there. Because if you go to look and you find all kinds of stuff written about crafts that were allegedly seen in there, maybe there's all kinds of things that talk about the bodies. Oh, they were alien bodies and stuff. You can't find anything really verifiable to go along with to really make some interesting stories of that at all, just being complete and total speculation. It would be fun to talk about, but it doesn't really tell the underlying story. And the underlying story is we know for a fact that there's something seen in the skies out there, and we also know for a fact that these guys, back in the 60s at least, were dumping gas. It doesn't mean that they stopped. It just means that they quit doing it so far out in the open. That's all it means. So there's something going on there. I firmly believe it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but there's something that they're trying to keep hidden from us, 100%. Now, I'm okay with them hitting the VX gas, but I want to know what that is that they've seen in the skies.
Right.
I want to know if that's testing regular jets or stuff that we've built or what that is.
I think it's some kind of new technology, some kind of new military aircraft that they've been working on.
Very possibly it could be in that area alone. In that, because like we said, do they? You think they tease it just enough to keep everybody interested, let's say in Area 51? You think that maybe there's nothing there anymore and that they just tease it and tease it? It's like a misdirection that they keep
right,
doing
because
stuff
they want
there.
All the eyes focused over there.
Exactly.
Totally.
You think that's what that could be?
Totally.
It feels that way at times, doesn't it?
But they're still buying more ground. I mean, just recently the family lost their family farm because they were buying up more land.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they're constantly expanding the size of these bases. Very, very, very interesting.
Well, all right, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time talking about the Dugway Proving Ground. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I really enjoyed that story. Cam, did you see? This comes from, speaking of extraterrestrials and things, I'm going to keep with the same track of thought here. An Englishman chases alien greys out of his home recently. Did you see this?
No, but you have my full attention.
Right? Now, this comes to us from Cryptozoology News. It's about a man in From, England. He's 54 years old, who says that his Somerset County home was broken into by a group of beings that looked like the typical greys. Now, his name is Nick, and he's a carpenter in From. He told Cryptozoology News on Friday that his partner and him were in bed when he first noticed the presence of the reported entities. He says, I was trying to sleep. Now, he said that this incident happened in 1995. I woke up, unable to move, and I presumed it was sleep paralysis, of which I am aware, and then became aware of figures at the bottom of my bed. I tried to rouse my partner but couldn't make a sound. The next thing, I was asleep again. The following morning, Nick's two sons, who were 8 and 5, reportedly asked their father about the entities. They asked me if the clowns would be coming back. When I questioned them about what they meant, they both independently said that clowns had come through their window and that I had chased them off with my baseball bat. Now, Nick says that his son's questioning was unusual because they didn't know that he kept a baseball bat under his bed at night, or so he thinks. The eyewitness described the creatures as the typical grays. It's just like the one pictured on the cover of Whitley Strieber's 1987 book, Communion. Ugh, I remember that. Isn't that crazy?
I don't like that.
So his sons even saw it. The clowns coming through the windows. That's terrifying.
Anything about clowns freaks people out. I don't, you know, look.
I just watched recently, I mean, with my wife, the new Poltergeist movie with...
clowns?
Sam Rockwell.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, and of course, there's clowns in it. And I was just saying that to my wife the other day. I was like, what is it about clowns that's so scary?
Yeah, I don't mind them. Yeah. I really don't mind the whole clown.
You're
thing.
An anomaly.
I just, yeah, but not really, because I'm afraid of everything else. Everybody gets scared.
That's true. You're scared of water.
Yeah, right. I don't like the water, the whole thing. People keep poking fun at me. Sam Sheeran, he is posting something on Facebook the other day about with the big shark and all this stuff, where the Australian man beat up the shark. I need some more Australian friends.
Right. Speaking of Australia, did you see the Ronda Rousey fight?
Yeah, my hat's off to Miss Holly Holm.
Right?
Good job. Good job.
It's like somebody who's been eating a little humble pie.
Yeah. Good. Well, she fought her the way she needed to. Huh? That's the way you got to do it. You got to make her work, keep her on the end of your punches, and light her up. And she did. For those of you that haven't seen it, Miss Holly Holmes knocked out Ronda Rousey in the second round.
Yeah, very
head
interesting.
Head kick. Hit her. Well, it looked like a left hand. Spun her a little bit, and then head kicked her. Bump, perfect head kick. Well, more like into the neck, shin to the neck. And that'll put you down. That'll definitely put you down. So, congratulations, ma'am. We have an new women's bantamweight champion. And thanks to everybody that's been sending us messages, been sending us phone calls, been leaving voicemails. I mean, we've got so much stuff to go through. I mean, we're getting bombarded by stories, and they're great. All the stories are interesting and unique. I love them. I mean, it's one of those things. We do all this research, and then we go and we listen to what all y'all send us, and it's awesome. I can't get enough of it. I feel I'm spoiled to it. We got right? another good one. Yeah. Kyle, what's this other one we got?
We got a new one the other day, and she gave me permission to read this. And it was a really interesting case that happened with her mother. Now, let me tell you what it says. It says, I was listening to a recent episode of Expanded Perspectives Elite on time slips and wanted to get your opinion on if the following can be classified as one. My dad passed away on Monday, July 29th, 2002, at around 7 p.m. He had been sick for a very long time with heart disease. My mom was a retired nurse and was able to take care of him at home, which was a fantastic blessing, as he did not have to go into a hospital. The hospice nurse also visited about 3 times a week for a few months prior to my dad's death. A few days after my dad died, my mom told us about a weird thing that had happened. Now, back then, my parents had an answering machine, which would state the time and date prior to playing each message. On Sunday night, July 28th, around 8:30 p.m., my mom noticed that the light was blinking on the answering machine, and she thought that she'd better get the messages. One message was from the hospice nurse, telling my mom how sorry she was to hear about my dad passing. My mom replayed the message several times. Each time, the date and time were stated prior to the message. The date and time were Monday, July 29th, 2002 at 8:02 p.m. Since this was July 28th when she received the message, my mom believed that this was some kind of sign letting her know my dad would die the next day, which he did. We asked my mom why she didn't tell us about it when it happened. She said she didn't want any of us to worry all day on Monday about when Dad would go. She deleted the message so we wouldn't hear it. Was it a sign? I don't know. Was it a time slip? The more I hear of these on your shows, the more I'm starting to think maybe it was. Thank you for your time, Vicky. I really appreciate that, Vicky. What an interesting story.
It's a great story.
It's what is that? A malfunctioning message machine? But it's awfully odd that it's malfunctioning precisely a day before her father passes away.
Precisely. Yeah, that's a little strange, isn't it?
Too much to be a coincidence.
Right, exactly.
But we all know that we live. The universe is a giant computer program.
It's true.
It's just a glitch in the program.
It's just a glitch. It's just a glitch in the Matrix. That's all it was.
Well, and she mentioned that she was listening to Time Slips on an Expanded Perspectives Elite show. For you non-elite members, don't forget, signing up is easy. You can go to our website, expandedperspectives.com. There's a tab on the top right. Clicking on there and signing up is easy. It's $5 a month. $5 a month gets you an extra episode every Thursday, as well as access to the whole entire back catalog. So you're really missing out if you're not joining right now. Because I'm telling you, soon, in the next upcoming months, we're going to be pulling down some of those elite episodes. So if you don't want to miss out, now is the time to join. Also, Cam had mentioned that people had been calling and leaving us messages. That is true. If you would like to call and leave us a story or an experience that you had, you can call now. The number is 817-945-3828. And, of course, you can always email the show with your stories, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Cam?
Yes, sir.
What do you got going on this week?
Hard work, baby. Hard work and trying to stay dry. That's about it. We got some good rains coming down. We could always use the rain, and that's pretty much it. Man, I like the cooler weather and just grinding forward.
Yeah, it is raining right now, actually. You might be able to hear the thunder in the background.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're getting it good again. Mm-hmm. Not complaining. We need it. You can never have too much. Well, I guess you can't have too much water. It's called a flood, but, I mean, come on.
Right. Speaking of floods, I've been just paging through my new Magicians of the Gods by Graham Hancock, right?
I love that book.
Man, I hope it's as good as Fingerprints of the Gods.
So far, it's going along nicely, so yes.
Oh, yeah, I haven't really started. Yeah. I've just been thumbing through it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I hope everybody has a good week. Don't work too hard. For you elite members, we'll be speaking to you on Thursday. For everybody else, take care.
We will see y'all Monday. Peace.
Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,